From the Gospel of Mark, we read these words. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist. And others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what does it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with all the holy angels." May God bless this reading from his holy word. So, Billy Graham died this week, the ripe old age of 99. Yes, I know. Guess that'll teach me the pause in the middle of my in the middle of my sentences, huh? Billy Graham was, in many ways and at many different times, a different person. He was often controversial. He was often scorned by some. He was often called the America's pastor. He was, in the oldest sense of the word, an evangelist. To be an evangelist is simply to tell the good news. Many people made a mistake when they looked at Billy Graham and thought that he was a fundamentalist Christian. And I suppose if you want to say he looked at the fundamentals of faith and that's what he preached, I guess in that regard he was a fundamentalist. He tried to stay away from politicizing the message, although sometimes he got dragged into that. But at heart, Billy Graham always remained the simple, down-home country pastor who had one hope for his work, and that was that he would communicate the hope of Jesus Christ to everybody that heard his voice. When he died, people, of course, began to hash through his life and his preaching and his teaching, and they began to, what I always like to say, cherry pick the different things that he said. Different groups criticized him for the stance that he took throughout his life on various things. He was not quick to integrate his ministry team. He was early on very segregationist, as a matter of fact, intended to really only preach and teach to the white folks in the country. He later on changed. He began to embrace diversity. And he began to move along with society. There are some things that he didn't change on. There are some things that he did. The reason that I wanted to bring him up today is not to hold him up as a perfect example of a Christian, but to hold him up as a good example of people working to be Christians. You see, he wasn't perfect, and he made mistakes. And I dare say that if I talked to each and every single one of you and I laid out for you everything he believed, you probably wouldn't agree with everything he said. I certainly didn't. However, he changed throughout his life and throughout his ministry. He made an effort to bring himself along, to learn from his experiences. And I think if we can teach ourselves anything by his example, it is that we have to learn and grow as Christians. God didn't make us to just be one person. He didn't have us born with this idea and then grow up with this idea and stay with this idea and that'll be the last dying thought before we pass on. He gave us a mind and a heart and an intellect in order to be influenced by our experiences and by the people around us. And we have to bring those changes to our own ideas and to our own faith and to our own ministry. Jesus himself was a walking example of that. If you will remember, when he first encountered the Canaanite woman who asked for healing for her daughter, Jesus said, I don't have anything for you. My message is to the people of the Jewish faith. And the woman quickly turned and said, ah, yes, but if even dogs can be nourished by the scraps that fall from the master's table, can't we also have the scraps that fall from God's table? And from that point, Jesus began to reach out to the Gentiles as well. He set the example for how we should learn and grow, to learn how to accept people without turning against God. Now, Billy Graham could be hellfire and brimstone when he wanted to be. But at heart, he remained a man that wanted to give hope, that wanted to preach a message of God's love, that there was hope for every single person if we would believe and embrace God's gift. How do you spread the good news? I don't need an answer. I just need you to think about it for a minute. How do you spread that good news that there is hope for everybody? Because in a world that is literally dying for something to believe in, how do we get that message across? How do we help people know that they never have to give up that they are never lost. That God is waiting right there with open arms. That all we have to do is walk into them. There are so many things that stand in the way of us seeing that. Sometimes we let politics get in the way of seeing people for who they are. Sometimes we let our own religion stand in the way of seeing people for who they are. One of the things that got Billy Graham in a lot of trouble a number of years ago was that he said that Roman Catholics could be saved, that they could go to heaven. He got in a lot of trouble for that. But he said, you know what? We all worship. And God loves all of us. And if we love God, then that's okay. We don't all have to be the same. A lot of people stopped giving to his ministry after that. You see, we have to be willing to open ourselves up to the possibility, to the probability, to the certainty that even people we don't agree with are still God's cherished, precious, saved children. And Cindy, you might look at me and say, oh man, she's going to hell. But thank God it's not Cindy's call, right? You see, we want to cast God in our own image. If Jesus said to us today, who do you say that I am? I dare say that your answer back, my answer would back, would be to tell Jesus exactly what I want him to be, what I want him to look like, what you want him to be, what you want him to look like. And you should embrace and love this, Jesus, and you should condemn this, and these people, well, just forget about them. Because that's what we tend to do as human beings. We cast Christ in our own mold, and we cast God in our own mold. And we better stop it. Because sometimes we are the stumbling block that keeps people away from grasping the hope of the kingdom. If you do nothing else this week, give somebody hope. If you do nothing else this week, show somebody that you care, that God cares. Because ultimately, that's going to be the only thing that saves this crazy world that we're living in. Everybody has to have hope, because the alternative is unthinkable. Amen.